imagine there's no heaven.
Morning, you're listening to Recovery Radio. This beautiful morning here, it's raining a little bit, but it's still beautiful. The tune that you were listening to just now is John Legend. Imagine all the people. Just imagine if there were no wars to fight, no people to kill. Just imagine how beautiful that would be. Yeah, my name is James Boyd, and I'm your host here on Recovery Radio. And we have some things we want to talk about. Usually we talk about a lot of things of surrounding addiction, and it comes off sort of like doom and gloom. But this morning I have a very special guest, a good friend of mine who's coming on air today and talk to us about some things that he's doing. And talk about his station in life and how he can encourage people. He has a saying, but I'm not going to give that away because I'm going to ask him to open that up. And I like some of his favorite quotes. We have Luke Loy, Hair by Luke of Martinsburg. He's going to be joining us this morning and going to have some very good, some interesting conversation surrounding, you know, poverty, inequality, drug addiction, happiness, how to just imagine if all the people lived as one. If we lived as one, if we decided to love more and hate a lot less, just imagine how the world would be. I know that sounds like a perfect world, but that's kind of the world that's, I believe, is ahead of us. You know, we seem to be headed in that direction. But here on Recovery Radio, you know, we want to talk about things that affect you. And so you can, you know, just join us online, call us. I want to tell you how to call in and reach us here on Recovery Radio so that, you know, you can kind of join the conversation. Some of the things that that I go through from week to week, from this Tuesday to last Tuesday, It was kind of a really good week. Some parts of it was not so good. I was in court yesterday with a young lady that was very disappointed. She violated her probation, and she did some things, and she had 1 to 5 years hanging over her head, and we thought, my co-worker and I thought that we would be able to get her into a rehab, but the judge denied that. I don't know exactly all the details and the circumstances behind the denial, but she has some mental issues, and I believe personally that, you know, we need more help, not more handcuffs. But they carted her away. I got a chance to talk to her mother and her father. Father was really distraught because that's their only child. And I believe she was around 23 years old. She was in an accident. She hit a person and killed that person. So I guess it was a manslaughter charge. And so she's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, I'm sure. But it was kind of a depressing day on yesterday. And then I got a chance to hang out with the people in drug court, making the decisions about people's lives who are addicted to substance and whether they should stay in programs or whether they should, get sent to prison, get sanctioned. Sanctioned, by the way, in the drug court is usually community service. But they seem to be dismantling the adult drug court because last year the adult drug court was held in an actual courtroom with probably 10 or 15 participants who were, sent to the drug court by a judge because of, probably simple possession. There's no violence. If you get accepted into the drug court system, you cannot have violence as part of your charge. There was about 10 or 15 last year. Now they're down to two defendants, two people who are in the system. Everybody else is being funneled into another system. I believe it's the Recovery Resource and the Day Report Center in Jefferson and Berkeley County. And they won't be going through the drug court system. And I'm anxious to hear or to see how that works out for these two communities. But for me, I'm doing what I can. I've partnered with a young lady, and her name is Deborah, and they call her Debbie. And I think she's actually really putting boots on the ground in terms of, getting involved in the community. You know, she actually reaches out to the people who are incarcerated, and she gets... she contacts them through phone and email, and she contacts all the rehabilitation centers around the country, actually, and get people into the system, the rehabilitation system, when they get out of jail or they're released from jail on those conditions that they go into long-term rehab. Some people think, and I don't believe that the rehabilitation centers are some magic bullet, but at least it's a start. You know, you get people into some kind of structured environment, get them eating some healthy food, and get them around places and into people who are in structured environments, and they have to comply. And they get a chance to kind of think, to sit down and relax and think and get off the streets. And so I believe what Debbie is doing is just amazing. So she's allowed me to work with her, and she's training me to be able to interview people over the phone by way of email. And she even set up an account for me. She's looking for other volunteers because none of this is paid. But the payment for me is, you know, helping people, to help people to kind of see what it is to be clean and sober. And for me, I'm sure that everyone who listens to Recovery Radio or people that I come in contact with on a daily basis, they know my story, but I'm going to share it with you all who do not know my story. My story is that I started using heroin at the age of 14 in Newark, New Jersey. And I went into the military after at age 17. And when I went into the military, I was addicted to heroin. I got in the military and they detoxed me, I guess by just, you know, I must not have been that addicted because I don't remember them giving me any medical assistance. Just went in the Army, went to base camp and a basic training. And I was sent off to Vietnam where my addiction escalated. I got a hold to some heroin that would really, really take you down, you know. But, you know, I survived it and made it home, and I didn't stop using. I went to prison a couple of times. I did a lot of skid bids. Those of you that don't know what a skid bid is, it's like 90 days, 6 months, 11 months. Anything over a year is not a skid bid. So I did a couple of those and probation periods. I failed at all of them. I went through 7 rehabs. But finally, I mean, I could stop. I could get into a structured environment and stop using, but I could never stay stopped. And then something just clicked. After 7 rehabs and 30 years of active addiction, I kind of stopped. And so I've been clean now for, I've been in remission. Let me take that back. I'm trying to change my language so that I can get my listeners and people that I come in contact with to change the language that they use on themselves and as well in the community. So my disease of addiction and is in remission for over 8,000 days now. And so now I've decided to hashtag stay stop. I know people don't talk like that with hashtag, but I use that because I'm on a lot of social media and they use it. And so that seems to be the thing that catches people's eyes or when they read your posts. And so I use the hashtags. So we're gonna have a good conversation with Luke. I believe he's calling in right now. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hi, this is Luke.
Hi, Luke Loy. Oh. You know, Luke. Good morning. Good morning to you, and welcome to Recovery Radio. I was, my engineer John. He always put down the names of the people who are going to come in and talk, and I spelled your name wrong. I spelled it L-O-I, and I guess I was thinking about the place I was when I was in Vietnam. It was called Quan Loy. And it's Q-U-A-N, Quan, and L-O-I. So, but we made that correction. Well, welcome to the show, Luke. I was just talking.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I'm reading over your bio here on Facebook. And, man, you're a celebrity makeup artist, and you do hair by Luke. I'm going to give you just free rein. I want you to talk about some things about how you got started and just introduce yourself to our audience. And you are?
Sure. Well, I've been doing hair now for 30 years. Mm-hmm. When I was 24, I was diagnosed. Well, actually, when I was young, I was diagnosed with lumbar distogenital disease. When I was 11, I was walking with a cane. And, you know, the state wanted me on disability because of it. But I fought the state and won. I said, let me get my license to do hair. And it's, well, you'll probably do it a couple years, and that'll probably be it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and got my license, and here I am 30 years later doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 10 years, I've been paralyzed 100% twice from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't let things stop me.
Let's open that up. Let's open that up, because I'm curious about that. You said you were paralyzed twice since you've been doing hair. How did that happen?
Yes. It's lumbar distogenital disease. What it is where your discs are deteriorating, the minor deteriorating rapidly. And I don't have any feeling in my left foot at all. I never got that back. The first time when I went paralyzed, it was 100% from the waist down. I lost bowel and bladder, and the doctor was like, nothing we can do. And they just sent me home, and I did it with no drugs, no rehabilitation. I did it all on my own in the faith of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I stood strong, and you know, I went from, you know, not being able to walk and urinating everywhere and messing myself to retraining my bladder and retraining my bowels and, you know, and learning to walk all over again. And I guess it's been 5 years ago it happened again, but it was just my from my left hip all the way down. And I was down about that time, about 3 months, but I still continue to do hair, and I would have people come lay beside me, and, you know, I just don't give up, you know, and I'm just very fortunate, you know. I've been, you know, reality TV now for 6 years. And
what's the reality TV show that you do?
Pardon me?
What is the TV show you said you're on, reality TV? Talk to us about
that. The one I was on for 4 years, it was the Gypsy Sisters. And the one presently, you know, I've been on is called Big Fat American Gypsy Weddings. And actually it's being aired right now in the UK and over in Germany and, you know, overseas right now. It's the show's international.
My Big Fat American Gypsy Wedding. Oh, tell us about that. How is that? I mean, what's the storyline behind that?
It's actually, you know, gypsies, when they get married, they have very extravagant weddings, and it's about their weddings, or gowns are huge, and it's about the gypsy lifestyle. I'm not a gypsy, but I've been friends with the gypsy family, you know, probably since I was 15, and they're all good people. And unfortunately, with any heritage or background, people, there's good and there's bad, you know, but they've always been good to me, you know, and all the family has been good to me, and I'm just very fortunate, you know, to have, you know, all of them, you know, as part of my family, you know. And when I had the opportunity to go on the first show, Gypsy Sisters, you know, they asked me to be a part of that. And, you know, it was an honor, you know, maybe internationally known. And, you know, I enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of stress, you know, but it was a lot of fun.
Well,
you know,
stress.
I'm just very grateful for, you know, all that.
Yeah. That sounds good. So I'm looking at some of the gowns. Yeah, so you do their hair, you're their stylist, and do you actually have lines in the show, or are you just on the set doing stylist?
Well, actually, it's reality TV, so we don't have actual lines. You know, it's pretty much whatever you want to say, you say.
Oh.
And it's actual reality TV, you know, and...
Well, how can my listeners catch one of the shows?
They can actually still go see them on YouTube. They can see them on YouTube, and actually, I think Netflix. I think they're on Netflix, and I think on Netflix and YouTube, you have to purchase them for 99 cents or $1.99 per episode. And you know, they filmed a lot in my home in Charlestown. We filmed a lot there, and other shops that I've been in, we filmed there. You know, so, yeah, it's a great opportunity. You know, it's got me internationally known, and, you know, I've been featured in magazines, front covers, and my work has been featured on front covers of magazines. And so, yeah, I'm just really blessed, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, anything we go through in life, you know, like, you know, you were talking about, because I was listening to your show before I called in, you know, just like you never gave up. Even when you was going through hard times with a drug addiction, or any type of addiction, you know, you can't give up. You know, it's always going to get better. It definitely can't get no worse, you know, and we just got to keep moving forward.
We got to keep moving forward.
We have to live our life every day.
Yeah, one of the things that when we first met, I heard you say something, your favorite saying. Tell us what that is.
Be kind to yourself and kind to others.
And kind to others. What brought that about? Is that something you came up with, or you got that quote from somewhere?
It's something I came up with because it's very easy, especially, you know, it's also a good thing for me because it's very easy for me to be good to other people. But, you know, but it's hard sometimes, you know, we're not good to ourselves. So, you know, it's very important that we don't forget about ourselves in the reins of life and everyday life. You know, not forgetting about ourselves. You know, we still have to, it's great to be good to others and being kind to them, but we have to be good to ourselves too.
Yeah, be good to.
That's kind of why I came up with that. You know, we can't forget about ourselves because, you know, we are, you know, we're important too. You know, that means pampering yourself or taking time for yourself. And like, as well as you did, you know, you took time for yourself to get yourself clean and stay clean and, you know, and you're being productive in life.
Yeah. So let me switch gears here a minute. Let's put some information out here. So tell me, how difficult was it for you to listen live on Recovery Radio? I know I sent you some information. Were you able to navigate? Obviously, you were.
Yes, it was very easy, actually. And You know, and like I said before, I even called in. I was listening to your talk this morning or this afternoon, and it's very easy to navigate on it, and it's very easy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you,
John Case. I want you to remember that name.
A great person.
Well, thank you.
You know, I remember the first day we met. You know, you drove past the shop I was at, and turned around, came back, and you said, "I just had to come meet you."
Yeah.
You know, and
I finally put a face to the name because you had been coming on Facebook and talking. And so it's very interesting. You studied at International Beauty School of Martinsburg, West Virginia. In what year? And how did, you know, what did the school actually do for you?
Well, you know, I went there 30 years ago. So whatever that would be, what year would that be? I have no
idea. You're dating yourself.
I'm 30 years now. It was a good school. It gave me a lot of great opportunities, you know, and, you know, I'm still doing a lot of the clients that I did while I was in school. And actually, I was just talking to them last week. I want to go in and speak to the new students in school because that's where your reputation starts, you know, is right in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look the part and be the part, you know, and, you know, I'm just very fortunate that I've worked hard to get where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't nothing given to me. You know, when I graduated beauty school, my mom gave me a choice.
Mm-hmm.
$10,000 put down on the house or $10,000 start my first business. And I went right from beauty school to my very first shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been self-employed. I've never worked for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I've been self-employed my entire life.
Oh,
the beauty school did really good for me.
Yeah. So that's good. So you got you some seed money and you opened your first shop. So that's
sure.
Part of your support. I had a lot of support when I was struggling, you know, with addiction and everything. So community, family support is very important, wouldn't you say?
Most definitely. Yes,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I still do many things for the community. Like I'm getting ready to do August 11th. I did it back in May. I did a free yard sale. Everything's free. And because I live on Winchester Avenue, and I only live here, but my business is here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you see a lot here on Winchester Avenue, you know. And I sit out on my porch, and, you know, I talk to everybody that goes past. I don't care if they're drug addicts. I don't care if they're alcoholics. You know, I treat everybody equally, and they treat me with respect as well. You know, but I'm going to be doing another free yard sale August 11th. And everything's free, clothing, shoes, anything you can, kids' toys, I mean, anything you can imagine.
Now, tell me what the address is.
Sorry?
What's the address where where your shop is and the free yard?
445 Winchester Avenue.
And that's close to what? What's the landmark?
Close to Bolt's Hardware.
Oh,
across the street from Bolt's Hardware, or very close to Rite Aid. Pharmacy, it's very close to that.
Yeah, and what are some of these special items, just off the top of your head, what are some of the special items that are you giving away free at your yards?
Well, and mostly it's clothes, you know, a lot of clothes, you know, mainly because a lot of people, the last one I had, it was amazing. There was probably, I would say, close to 200 people that was here that day.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Adults, you know, that are in their 50s and older, and young children, you know, and teenagers, you know, when they come in, you know, they get a bag and you know, they fill that bag up and they get whatever they want and it's free.
Right.
There's no charge for anything. And
that's amazing.
See them to act like it's everybody, adults seeing them like it's Christmas time.
Oh, that's
you know?
Amazing.
And one girl, she was an addict and she had, you know, was living in her car. And when she lost her car, you know, everything she belonged in it. You know, was in her car, so she had no clothes except what she had on her back. That day, she left here with like 7 or 8 bags, you know, of clothes.
Okay.
And the way I look at it, I'm hoping that will help them to feel better about themselves, and might be able to get a better job, you know, and, you know, better their life, you know, in other directions because I show them that I care.
Yeah.
And everybody comes here, they get a hug. They get a hug when they leave, you know, and I take time with everybody. I mean, even the day with the yard sale, I mean, I had a DJ here, I had food here, I fed everybody. You know, even my grand opening, you know, of the shop here on Winchester Avenue, which was in you know, that was in March. The news was here.
Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And I gave free haircuts for 12 hours, and mostly them were addicts, and most of them were alcoholics. And,
mm-hmm. Do you cut men's hair as well?
We're all equal.
Do you cut men their hair? Do you do?
Oh yes, yeah. I do men and women, children. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds great. So, August the 11th, you know, we're having a Recovery Radio. We'll be in Jefferson Memorial Park that day as well, and I'm hoping that you will join us out there with maybe some of your items. Yeah. And
actually, my event is from 8 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
So after my event here, I'll be coming down, you know, be at your event as well.
Yeah, because I see where you went to Jefferson High School.
I did.
Yeah. Did you play any sports?
I'm originally from Jefferson County.
Yeah.
And lived there. Well, actually, originally from Fairfax, Virginia. Moved here when I was 3, but I consider, you know, Jefferson County, Lee Town area is where I was raised.
Yeah.
And...
Let me ask you something, okay, yeah, about Jefferson County, and where you live now is Berkeley County. And when you were going to high school, where I guess because of the sports and everything, Jefferson and Berkeley are rivals on the gridiron, I'm sure. But do you find any tension between the two counties as of today? What are the tensions?
Not too much.
That's good.
You know, the thing is, you know, when I was, I actually only completed the ninth grade.
Okay.
I completed the ninth grade and quit school when I was 15 and started working at 15. And because my mom and dad was going through a divorce, so I went to work very young. And but I always told my mom I would get back to school, and which I did. I went back to my GED, and I've been very successful since then. You know, a lot of people think it's just because you quit school or don't complete doesn't mean that you're dumb or stupid, you know, or if you made bad choices in your life, as you know people has made drugs, doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just they're making bad choices, you know. But you can always make yourself better, you know. And it aggravates me, and I think we've had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm helping a young man, you know, he's an addict and was an alcoholic, and you know, when he started with me, he had nothing. Now he's a federal government employee. He has 2 vehicles, you know, and he's doing very well. He's clean, and he's doing very well.
Well, you know, good for you.
And so no matter how low you get, there's only one way to go from there. So, but everybody needs support, and everybody needs to be loved.
That goes back to your original saying, be good to yourself and kind and kind to others. So you seem to be, you're being kind right now to some individual.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he seems to be doing well. I think that in the community where people are struggling, usually all they need is somebody to either listen and to be kind to them, you know, not to judge them and not to try and advise them, any of that, just to have...
Or not to judge them.
Yeah.
You know, the main thing is don't judge them.
Don't judge them.
Nobody chooses to be a drug addict. Nobody chooses to be an alcoholic. You know, and a lot of people say the choice. Yeah, they do have the choice whether to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but unfortunately, we don't know what they've been through.
Right.
You know, and I had talked to a young girl, and unfortunately, you know, her mom was an addict, but she wasn't, you know, actually using the pills. She was actually selling the pills.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when you take, you know, narcotics, they test your urine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when she was 10 years old, her mom made her, you know, gave her narcotics to do the urine test, and she would use her daughter's urine. And she didn't want them, because it has to be in your system. So here she is at 10 years old, you know, doing, you know, narcotics because her mom forced her to take them, because that way she could continue to get the drugs. So not everybody knows everybody's story.
That's right.
You know, nobody chooses to do being, you know, or just the same way as being overweight. Nobody chooses to be overweight. Nobody chooses, you know, you know, to be in, you know, and I don't like the saying, you know, once an addict, always an addict.
No, that's not true. That's
not true.
That's misinformation.
You know?
Yeah. So, Luke, and let me ask you a question here. And as a gay man, living here in West Virginia, in Berkeley County, what do you think? What is the temperature in the community around people who are either transgender, gay, bisexual? What do you think the temperature is around here?
You mean as far as how supportive
Is? How supportive the community is, or how not so supportive?
Well, you know, I've been openly gay now since I was 24, and I'm 53.
Okay.
And I've been highly respected in the community. I was never looked at, you know, in a bad way for being gay. But I'm not out there, you know, throwing it in people's face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still highly respected. Even when I was on the reality TV show, mm-hmm. you know, I was on there as myself. I would never go on international TV and be something I'm not.
Okay.
And, you know, I've never had that to go through. I was very fortunate, you know, and I have many transgenders that come to my shop that I help them, you know, to make them look more believable, you know, mm-hmm. when they can go shop in Walmart and people knows that they look like real women now,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I do a lot for the transgender community and, you know, but, you know, as far as here, it's getting more open,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I've never had an issue. I've always been very lucky, I guess the word is, you know. I think it was probably 15 years ago, I did a fundraiser at the Holiday Inn,
mm-hmm.
and it was for the AIDS Network here in Martinsburg, which they're no longer here,
mm-hmm.
and I was on the board of directors of it, and I told them I wanted to do a drag show. I've mm-hmm. never done drag in my life, but mm-hmm. I knew I could fill the place up because everybody knew me.
And how did that work out?
I had a blast.
Did you fill it up?
I raised a lot of money.
Oh, mm-hmm. you filled it up, huh? Yeah, we're going to have to get together and collaborate and do a fundraiser around surrounding addiction.
And we're talking, you know, 15 years ago, and, I mean, the Holiday Inn gave me, you know, the ballroom. Every money that was raised went right to the AIDS Network, mm-hmm. you know, to help people, you know. And back then, you know, Berkeley County was the only one that had the drugs at that time that were available, you know, for people that were HIV positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of people from other counties and other states were moving here because they get it here in Berkeley County. But unfortunately, you know, the funding was not that good here, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but, you know, I did whatever I could do to help the funding, you know, and help other people,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So give me your take on this statement right here. HIV and AIDS is a gay disease. What do you say to that?
That's not true. That's not true. You know, years ago, when it first came out, you know, the government, you know, thought it was a gay disease, and they didn't really give a shit, excuse my language.
That's all right.
You know, but unfortunately, it's not a gay disease. You know, anybody can get it. You know, there's many ways of getting it. You know, it's not only sexually, you know, you can get it many ways.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not just a gay disease. I mean, anybody, you know, drug users and addicts, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, many have died from it that I know, you know, and it's, you know, but now you don't die with AIDS or HIV, you live with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 15 years ago, you died.
Yeah, they changed the language now, and changed the medicine. It got
come
better.
A long way.
Yeah,
come a long way.
So, what do you
think? You know, I'm very.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You said you're very.
I'm very lucky, you know, being gay, and I'm HIV negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but unfortunately, I know many people that are HIV positive that are not gay,
mm-hmm.
or that was gay, but has passed away from it.
Yeah.
And now things are totally different with it now.
Okay, let's talk about the religious community for a second. Well, how do you find that the religious community feel about people who are gay or people?
Well, I think it just really depends on the, you know, where you're living too, you mm-hmm. know, and the demographics. You know?
Well, let's talk about Berkeley County. What do you think? The religious community in Berkeley County, spiritual community, I would say.
Well, you know, I never had an issue with that. I've been invited to many churches,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're very open. You know, there's only one time that I can remember. It's probably been 15, 16 years ago. I was at my mom's, and there was two ministers there wanting my mom to join the church. And, of course, you know, my mom knows I'm gay, and she said, well, I have one question. She said, well, my son Luke. You know, my son Luke, oh, yeah, everybody knows Luke. And she said, well, he'd be welcome to church. And they're like, oh, no, he wouldn't be welcome. And she asked him to leave right then. You know, that's the only time that I've ever had an issue. you know, but unfortunately, you know, there's many people, you know, that hide behind the church, you know, that, you know, they use the church only to hide behind, you know.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What are they hiding?
You know, they're doing other things.
What are they hiding, in your opinion?
Well, what I'm saying, you know, a lot of people use the church to hide things that they might be doing, not be doing well in their life, and they use religion only to make themselves look better, you know. But if you have to go and use religion to make yourself look better, you should not have to tell people you're a good person. You know, they should already know that.
Yeah,
if you have to convince people you're a good person, there's a problem.
There's a problem. That's right.
Yeah, there's a problem.
Yeah, you don't have to walk around with a big Bible under your arm and
no,
thumping
no.
it at everybody. Just show yourself to be who you are. Yeah.
Exactly right.
So yeah,
people
not,
accept you if you are who you are, no matter
yes.
if you're gay, straight,
mm-hmm.
you know, addict, alcoholic. You know, people will accept you.
Yeah.
Just be you.
It hasn't always been that way, though, right? It has not always been that way.
No.
Okay, so when do you think if you can think about a time when it started to change for you? When did you start to relax? You said you've never had a problem. You've always been open.
I really never had an issue with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess years probably when I was 26, 27, you know, there was a gay bar in Hagerstown I used to go to. And I would never walk into a gay bar by myself because that time, you know, people would beat the hell out of you,
uh-huh.
you know, and I never would go into a gay bar by myself. And even to this day, you know, you have to be cautious because there's always that one person, you know, mm-hmm. but no matter if you're gay or straight, you know, people's going to judge you no matter what. You could be too tall, too short, too black, too white,
mm-hmm.
you know, no matter what, people are going to judge you. And it's sad because when the people that you're judging, you just take time to get to know them, you might be missing out on a really good friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be so judgmental towards people. But, you know, like I said, I've been very fortunate, you know. Well, actually, when I did that drag show, you know, at the Holiday Inn, that night I got stopped by the cops. And I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that time I didn't drink. And we got stopped by the cops, my partner and I. He was driving. And I was sitting there in my shorts, no top on. Of course, you know, after I had makeup on, had no wig on. So I'm sure it looks kind of odd.
Uh-huh.
The cop held me there for almost an hour and a half. They wanted my license. I wasn't driving. And so I had to give them my social security number, and they ran that. And, of course, nothing happened, came back. And, you know, they held me there for an hour and a half. So the next day I went in and talked to his boss. Well, he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
He got in a while. He got reprimanded. I don't know if he lost his job,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they apologized to me for that, you know.
Was this Berkeley
that.
Or Jefferson County?
I've really been harassed was that one time.
That was Berkeley County. Yeah. Okay. Because
yeah.
the Holiday Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've come a long way. They've come a long way since then, right?
People. Oh, most definitely.
People have lightened up
a
lot.
Just like I think anything, you know, I'm a gay man, but I don't got here and flaunt it. You know, I'm just a man that happens to want to love another man.
Well,
you know
what? Let me say something to you about me. I'm a black man and I do flaunt it. So,
right.
you know, I would
exactly.
invite you. I would invite you, you know, to, I mean, I don't know. What do you mean by flaunting? I don't understand what you mean.
Flaunting, you know, I'm not flamboyant, I guess you want to say, but I'm not ashamed of who I am.
Okay.
You know, I don't hide, you know, like I said, how I was on international TV, you know, actually I took the girls that I was on the show with to a gay bar, you know, when we was filming and, you know, to show our support to our gay, you know, the gay community,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's not that I'm ashamed of who I am, but I'm, you know, pretty much everybody, Berkeley, Jefferson, well, internationally knows that I'm a gay man,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm not one to throw it in your face, you know, I'm not, you know. I'm just me. You know, I don't know how to be in any other way except me. When we was filming the one day, they had like five cameras on us, and the one producer said, "Luke, okay, we really want you to gay it up."
Oh.
I looked at him and I said, "No, I don't know how to do that." You know, this is, you know, I don't know how to be any gayer. This is, you know,
he said he wanted you to gay it up. That is great.
Yeah,
that's great.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, I wonder how I would behave or how I would respond if somebody told me, listen, I want you to black it up. What am I supposed to do?
Black it up.
I'm supposed to start busting windows and put on some one of those little short little things that the people in Africa wear. I don't know.
Right.
Black it up, I guess. I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Pull out my Huey Newton?
I love everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see skin color.
You're a nice person.
I don't see that, you know. Yeah. And, you know, and it aggravates me when I see people that are very discriminative against, I don't care who it is, black, white, Asian, mm-hmm. addicts, you know, we're all equal. We're all came in this world the same way. We're all going to go out mm-hmm. the same way.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that you're...
Life's too short.
It is. It's much too short. Talk to us about, you're a makeup artist and cosmetology. Go ahead.
Well, I've been doing that, like I said, almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've worked with some country music singers, which I can't say. And, you know, other people, celebrities, I've had the opportunity to work with. And actually, I'm working with one now. She lived in Hollywood, and now she just transferred in. Due to PA, I'll be working with her, and actually I'll be doing her hair and makeup at the Kennedy Center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the main reason if you're not on my Facebook, you can see on my Facebook, I do a lot of transformations on people, you know, men and women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them are women that don't feel good about themselves, and, you know, a lot of them are addicts, a lot of them are alcoholics, you know, or a lot of them just are down on their luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't feel attractive. And, you know, I think we all have many God-given gifts. And this is one of my many gifts that I can share with many people that can make them feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once you look in the mirror, you know, and you look good, you're going to feel good. You know, and just take a little bit of effort and a little bit of time to spend with someone to make them feel better about themselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's been probably 2 months ago I had a girl came here from, I think it was Pennsylvania. She mm-hmm. was a huge fan of the show. Her mom surprised her, you know, by bringing her here to get a makeover, and she had no clue where she was going. And when she pulled up, I was outside. She started crying, and she thought she was just here for a visit, you know, but I, you know, gave her a full makeover. And the reason why is she had internal and external, I can't think what it is now, but she had an internal and external disease where it affects her bones, her muscles, and all that. And so it changed her whole appearance. And so she kind of let herself go. And when she left that day, she mm-hmm. she felt beautiful again. She looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And so, I even had dresses and jewelry, and I do all that with them. You know, and, you know, so I'm just very grateful. And, you know, like I said, we all have God-given gifts, and I've got many gifts that I can share with many people. You know, not only to make them feel good about themselves, but, you know, make them wanting to help others as well.
Yeah,
and that's
so,
why I do the yard sale I'm doing, you know, because it was me only doing the yard sale. Mm-hmm. Now people are coming to donate things. People are wanting to be a part of it. So now I was just one man making a difference. Now I've turned it into a community wanting to make a difference.
What are some of the things that people donate to your cause to make people? Because,
oh, my Lord. Yeah. I've had, like I said, a lot of clothes, pictures, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. mirrors. I got a dog kennel, shoes, kids' toys, skates. I mean, anything you can imagine, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I said, anything that anybody that you might think they may need, bring it.
Okay.
You know, it could be dishes. You know, I have dishes, and pots, pans. I mean, it's just...
Nice little startup kit for newly married people, or people that are just coming out of prison.
You know, or someone's homeless.
The homeless people, exactly.
You know, if someone's homeless, you know, at least they'll have clean clothes, you know, mm-hmm. you know, or sheets, you know, to put on their bed that night, mm-hmm. or, you know, and, you know, we all have hard times.
Yeah.
But if everybody helps one another, and it doesn't always have to be money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just taking time to talk to them and taking time to listen to them, that's worth $1,000 or more.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to take that time. You know, where I take time, you know, with everybody comes here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got 4 different Facebook pages,
mm-hmm.
and it takes me, I'm on there probably anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day. You know, I get up at 2:30 in the morning mm-hmm. answering my questions and questions back, mm-hmm. you know, from the night before. So it's a lot to keep up with, but I'm not going to give up. I want anybody, you know, if someone has a question, you know, I'll always answer. And it could be, you know, in Norway, it can, mm-hmm. you know, cause their show is, you know, international. You know, so you know, always take time with people.
So it sounds like Makeup and Hair by Luke, as well as Comforting by Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that
it's definitely.
Yeah, so that sounds it's pretty definitely. Cool, Luke. Yeah, so my next question is, let's switch gears for a minute, because I noticed some of the pictures you did, you post after you give someone a makeover. You did your mom. And I thought, wow, you know, but of course, I'm married, but I still wanted to compliment her. I said, wow, you did the before and the after of her. So I said, well, you know, I need to go and see Luke and see what he can do for this. See, I'm bald. I shaved all my hair off, and I'm so glad that bald is in now, because my hair started to recede some years ago, so this was a blessing for me that it was okay to be bald. But I'm growing mm-hmm. I'm growing this beard. So tell mm-hmm. me, give me some tips on the beard. How should I groom it, and what kind of products are available?
Well, the thing is, you know, as we get older, you know, things change and shift, you know. And
like what? Is, like what, know, for instance, with the beard? I know you're talking about texture and all of that.
Right. You know, you need to let your beard grow in once you get it growed in, and just shape it where it, because the beard's really good for men, because it changes their structure of their face.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to shape it to what structure you want to look. You know, you can have a fuller face, or you can have a slender face. It's all on how you trim your beard. And also, if you have gray in it, you know, there's things you can do about that. You can color it.
Talk to me about the gray.
Eyeshadow and different things.
I did.
Your beard or even your eyebrows.
Oh, my goodness.
Get gray in your eyebrows as well.
Boy, you're hitting the nail. So I got questions. You know, I got the gray beard. I tried that, the stuff, the dye for Just for Men. That's the name.
Just for Men, yeah.
Man, mm-hmm. I put that stuff on, and somebody said, wow, your beard is really black.
Yeah.
And so it didn't match.
No matter what color you use.
Yeah.
If you use light brown, dark brown, or medium brown, or whatever, you know, it always gets black. There's another one out that you can get. You can just actually use a regular hair color. You just might have to leave it on just a few more minutes longer. But there's another one out. It's called, I think it's called Men. I don't think it's Just for Men. I think it's just called Men. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's very cheap. You can get a Family Dollar, Dollar Store. And it colors really well, and it covers really well. But what's really nice about it, as it fades out, it blends in. Where Just for Men, it doesn't fade out. So you always, in 2 weeks, you have that, you know, that line of gray against the black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what you can always do, you know, when you start having that line, if it's dark, you know, take a little bit of mascara, you know, put it on the gray areas, and it blends it right back in.
Mascara on my face. I'm kind of a little, when you say that, I get a little jittery about mascara. Well, no, it's not so much the gray. I you know, I saw a guy on television yesterday on Good Morning America, and he was singing. Young kid, and I noticed when they did the close-up, I said, oh, he has on makeup on his face. And, you know, it looked really good. So my question to you, now I have this, my right eyebrow. The black one, the left one is fine, but the right one is getting all this gray hair in it, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, like I said, you know, just take some black eyeshadow, a small brush, I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
I'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, you're going to have to tighten me up, Luke.
You can't even tell the eyeshadow. You can't even tell it's makeup.
Okay.
You know, I even do that with women. You know, a lot of women want to use eyebrow pencils, you know, then it looks like the golden arches, you know, because they're so defined. Where if you use eyeshadow on your eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
it's very natural and you can't tell. I mean, even myself, I do it on my mustache, because my mustache is pure white. But if I go out, I'll take eyeshadow and put it on my mustache. You know, just put color back into it, and it looks more natural, and of course, it makes us look younger. You know?
So the eyeshadow, you're not talking about that pencil, are you?
No, eyeshadow is the powder.
Oh.
You want to use the powder.
Man, I'll be to mess myself up. I'm going to have to come over there and talk to you.
Yeah, because, we're going to get together and I'll have to do a little mini makeover.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, my hope is that one day somebody will allow me to get in front of a camera. I'm going to create that situation myself here with me and John Case, because he's hanging right with me. He takes good care. Do you know John, by the way? You don't know John? John Case?
I don't know if I know John or not.
Yeah. Okay. The Enlightened Radio. Man, you know, when we were on the Red Hot Couch and we were dismissed from that place, Consuela Newman said to me, and Zaki from the NAACP, he said, go down to Harper's, go down to, I think you were in Charlestown. You were in Shepherdstown. Yeah, it was in Shepherdstown. He said, go down there and John might have a place for you. And so, you know, I finally made it down here to Harper's Ferry, where he, when he left Shepherdstown, he came home and he has a studio here in his home. And he's really, really been a blessing to me. But
He's in Shepherdstown, you said?
Yeah.
No, we're at Harper's Ferry now.
Harper's Ferry now, right now.
Harper's Ferry now, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Consuela Newman's a very nice. I know Consuela. Yeah. I've known her for years and done her hair for years.
Okay. Oh, you
she's
do?
A nice
okay.
person.
Okay, so we're going to, on the 11th of August, like I said, when you're having your yard sale, when you come out to the park and you'll be able to meet John and come out
and do an
interview with me, and so we can share some stories and maybe create some ways to help people, help more people here.
Oh, most definitely.
In Jefferson and Berkeley County. Yeah.
Now, does he have, you said, does he have a photographer as well, or...
No. He's an engineer here.
We're not going to use. It'll be audio, not unless we want to. If you want to tape it, we can post it on the on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what we'll have to do is get together. I have someone, you know, has camera, you know, regular cameras, and we'll have to do like a 45-second thing about what we're doing. You know, I can have the camera crew from here. And we can do that.
Okay.
And they're starting to want to do videos of me to go, you know, it's going to be like my own show, but it's going to be like YouTube shows. Mm. And so that's supposed to be starting here soon. So we, you know, we have to get together and I can help you all. The last video I did just on Facebook, it's got almost 60,000 views, which is kind of crazy.
Wow. Yeah. So, show me that
trick. Any way I can help you all, you know, build your audience or build anything to make it better, you know. And I've never, and what's changing how I feel, you know, I've never felt that I was a celebrity, but I guess being on TV for 6 years, I guess I am, but I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
But what I do with it is help other people to build their businesses or build, you know, build themselves, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's important to have a platform. Because you can reach people and help people. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I don't want this celebrity status." But when you become the face of something, and especially when you're doing it for the right reasons, you definitely need a platform to be able to do that. And I think that the social ills and all the inequality and the poverty and all the angry. Quotes and everything that's here in our community, we have to kind of keep a platform so that we can get the truth out and the messages out and to highlight the fact that there are wonderful people such as yourself who are available to other people. I really appreciate it. Do you have any parting words? You got about 30 seconds and to tell us exactly, talk to some young people for 30 seconds about how to become a celebrity stylist and makeup artist.
Well, the thing is, you know, with anything in life, we have to work hard at it. Mm-hmm. You know, I work 7 days a week, and, you know, you have to, you know, like I've told many people, you know, you have to treat your client, every client that I've done for the past 30 years, you know, and many of them I'm still doing. You know, I still treat them as it's their first visit. Because once you get comfortable with people, you think, well, she's not going to care if I'm running late. You know, main thing is if you treat them like it's their first visit, you know, you will always have them as a client, you know. And like I said, you know, the main thing is, you know, be good to them. be kind to them and show them that you truly care, because I don't like using the word client because then I'm looking at them as a
yeah.
a dollar sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're my family. Everybody comes to me as my family. You know, the main thing is you know, never give up. You know, no matter what business you're in,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you're doing in life or whatever you're overcoming, you can overcome it. And there's a reason why things are called your path, because it's where it belongs and that's where it stays.
Well, that is great. So keep posting those great pictures, man, and say hello.
Oh, yeah,
say hello to your mom. Say hello to your mom and tell her I say you go, girl. Yeah, because you hooked her up.
She looks good. She's almost 80 years old.
I know. I say, wow. Yeah. So, but that is great. And so she's doing well, right? Health wise and everything else.
Yeah, health wise.
Well, that's good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Does she talk she's trash?
Very well.
Is she a trash talker? Does she talk? How does she? Does she dance and talk trash?
Your mom. No, she dances and she's out riding Harley Davidson. Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if she got a Harley.
She has a boyfriend that does.
Got a boyfriend. I better stay away. Yeah, tell him I said I apologize because if she got a boyfriend that rides a Harley, he'd beat me up.
It's all good. She's used to it. You know, everywhere we go, you know, people stop us. You know.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, and that's the God's honest truth. You know, James, no matter where we go, where I go with my mom, people stop us.
Send me a picture. You know, send me a picture of her on her Harley. Send me a picture.
But
you never post a picture of her on a Harley. And
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, what shines most in people is the light that's inside of them, and that's the spiritual light.
Yeah.
And that's what, with me, as well as my mom, you know, when we go places, you know, my mom's always being stopped in a good, positive way. You
okay.
know?
Yeah, I'm and sorry. We're going to have to.
Whatever we project, that's what
we get
back.
We're going to have to end it right there, Luke. We're going to have to end it. And I really don't be a stranger.
It.
And I hope to see you. I'm going to stop by the shop before the 11th, okay? Because I'm going
to
put some flyers and things together, and I'm going
to
bring some flyers by
there too.
Okay,
and I'm going to thanks again for everything.
Okay, Luke, and we're going to end with Marvin Gaye. What's going on? And you just keep listening and keep tuning in and tell everybody about us. And
we'll
somebody
that.
Wants to come on and share their story, you tell them to reach out to me. And
we'll
get them on the show.
Well, I appreciate everything.
All right.
You have a great day.
You too. And thanks, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Recovery Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go to Marvin Gaye, and then we're going to end this segment of Recovery Radio. I thank you so much, and I hope something was said that would inspire you to help you to be kind to yourself and good to others. See you next week.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Yeah. Can't see what's going on.
What's going on?
Yeah.